Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. Ezekiel, chapter 1. We'll read verses 5 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. All right. Sounds like everybody's still looking. Ezekiel chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Also, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion. And on the right side, they had the face of an ox. And on the left side, they four also had the face of an eagle. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you for your presence in this place. Lord, may we not be like the average person in the world today and just become religious, just do something out of duty. May we realize that you are here, your presence is here, and you have something for each and every one of us. For Lord, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this room. There's no way one person could meet all those needs, but you sure could through the man of God. Fill our preacher with your power. May we listen to what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning, the sermon's title is this: Four-Faced. Four-Faced. The Bible says, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. I want our church to be full of mature Christians. I would like our church to have balance. I would like the Christians that sit in these pews to be Christians of balance. I would like to be able to help all of us to become well-rounded Christians. People who, for God's sake, have it together. For instance, I want to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission is in three parts, not just one. The Great Commission is to go and get people saved. Now, that's a part of it that many people get, but they leave out the other two parts. I want us to have the balance of getting people saved. I want us to have the balance of also getting those people baptized. I want us to have the balance of getting the saved people baptized and then teaching them to live for God so they too can become soul winners, so they too can become productive for God. So I want us to get the entire package. For instance, I want our teenagers, I want them to be able to stand up here and sing in a teen choir or an ensemble and do it in a wonderful way. And then I want our boys to be able to mix it up on the soccer field or on the basketball court and sweat and toil and play hard, but have that balance of being able to do both. I want men who are trained to lead and be strong leaders, but yet know how to follow and follow humbly when it is time to follow. I want a church full of people who have both love and hate in their lives. Loving people and hating sin. Loving the drunk, hating the whiskey that put them there. Loving the wrong, or hating the wrong and loving the right. That's what we're looking for. I want to help people to develop both strength and beauty. I want to help people develop both grace and truth. I would like for all of us to be what Jesus was. He was both tough and yet tender. There's a unique blend and God's looking for it. It's like peanut butter and jelly. Just goes well together. And that's what God's looking for. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, God gives Ezekiel a vision. Now, so you know, and I know this, that this vision of a beast that is described, it has some prophetic meaning that one day in history or one day in the future, we will see this beast pop up. But let me read it to you again. It says, as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. And they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. These creatures, or this creature that has Ezekiel has seen, it says here that this creature has four faces. Now, more than likely, this is a creature that was predicted in the book of Ezekiel that will show up in the latter days. We see it mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 8, where the Bible says, and the four beasts each had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Now, I just want you to know something. The Old Testament, God mentions a beast, and it has four faces. This very beast shows up later on with those four faces, and this beast, it possesses some unique qualities. It spends all of its time praising God, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And so this beast was used to praise God. Now, I realize that in Ezekiel, there was a prophecy, or he was prophesying that this beast would show up again someday in the future. So indeed, there is a prophetic purpose for the beast. But let me tell you this. God did not put a bunch of things in the Bible to confuse us. God does not want us confused. God said that He is not the author of confusion. He's the author of the Bible. He didn't mean for the Bible to be confused. So indeed, there is prophetic purpose for this four-faced beast. But I also believe there's a practical purpose for this four faces of this beast. These creatures are interesting. Notice it says this one creature has four faces. It has the face of a man. But yet on another side of its head, it has the face of a lion. And yet you go to another angle and you'll see that this beast has a third face. It is the face of an ox. And God said, if you go around to the side of the head that you've not looked at yet, you'll find the face of an eagle. This creature has four faces. A man's face on one side, a lion's face on another side, an ox's face on yet another side, and an eagle's face on another side. You say, Brother Owens, I've got more than one face. Yes, I realize there are people here that are two-faced, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. This is a totally different concept. God is saying there are four faces. These four faces possess certain qualities. These four faces are predicted in Ezekiel. They show up again in the book of Revelation, and they're shouting, holy, holy, holy to God, praising God. I think God would like us to learn something from this. You know, God didn't put, nothing was put in the Bible by accident. This is here for a reason. I think that God would like for you and for me to possess the qualities of these four faces. You'll see that in just a moment. God wants you to possess the quality of the lion. And God would like for you to possess the qualities of the ox. And God would like for you to possess the qualities of the eagle. And God wants to wrap it all up in man. God's saying to us, I want you to get the whole package. I want you to have strength and beauty. I want you to have grace and truth. I want you to be strong, yet know how to be weak. I want you to be bold, yet be humble. I want you to know how to lead, yet follow. And God is saying, I want you to mingle the qualities and all pack in to one human being in the likeness of Jesus Christ. I fear that too many Christians are not as mature as what they ought to be. Some have one of the faces, but not the other three. Some have two of the faces, but not the other two. Some may even have three of the faces, but not the other one. But I believe that in these four faces, we see some qualities that you and I, as born-again Christians, ought to have developed in our lives. Let's dig into it and find out what these qualities are. He said, the face of a lion. You know what it means? It means that God wants us to be strong in the Lord. Moses' departing words to Israel were, be strong in the Lord. What was he saying? Have the face of a lion. When David was passing away, he said to his son Solomon, Solomon, be strong in the Lord. What was he saying? Have the face of a lion. Now, David knew something about the face of a lion, because David had come face to face with a lion, and he had slain a lion in his youth. But David was saying, hey, Christian, have the face of a lion. Get some courage about you. When Azariah the prophet was challenging King Asa, he said, King Asa, be strong in the Lord. What was he saying? Have the face of a lion. When God called Isaiah, he said to him, be strong and fear not. What was he saying? Isaiah, have the face of a lion. Solomon, have the face of a lion. Israel, have the face of a lion. When God spoke to David about his Babylonian, or Daniel, about his Babylonian captivity, he said, be strong, even when you're outnumbered, Daniel, be strong. What was he saying? Have the face of a lion. And again, Daniel proved that he had the strength and the courage of a lion, because he got thrown into a whole den of lions and he walked out untouched. Why? Daniel had the face of a lion. He had the courage of a lion. When Paul wrote to the people in the Corinthian church that were carnal and backslidden and just plain church, he said, be strong in the Lord. What was he saying? Have the face of a lion. Get some courage about you. Learn to growl in life at the devil. When Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, which was a very large church numerically, he said, be more than just a church with a lot of numbers. Be a strong church. He was saying to that church, hey, get in the face of a lion. When Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said, be strong in the Lord. What was he saying to Timothy? Have the face of a lion. God wants us to be strong. God wants us to be courageous. When Moses sent spies into the promised land, he said, be of good courage. What was he saying? You're going to need the face of a lion. When Moses was passing off the scene and he said to a young upcoming leader named Joshua, he said, Joshua, be of good courage. What was he saying? Have the face of a lion. Joshua told the leaders of Israel after the death of Moses that they would have to be of good courage. What was he saying? Have the courage of a lion. Develop the face of the lion. As David led God's people to gather materials for the building of the temple, he said to them, we must be of good courage. What was he saying? Have the face of a lion. You know, I've never seen a lion with his tail between his legs. He's got courage. Lions don't have yellow streaks down their back. God gives us, hey, you know what we need? We need some strong Christians who have courage to stand for God and have the face of a lion. Hey, Christian, carry your Bible to work. Have the face of a lion. Hey, Christian, those of you young people that go to the public school, have the face of a lion. Take your Bible to school. Take your Bible to school. Take your Bible to school. Have the courage of a lion. Hey, you men, keep your hair cut like a man. And hey, you know what? Let people see who you are and who you belong to. Have the courage of a lion. Have the face of a lion. Show strength and courage. Hey, some of you that are you're adults now, but you're not married yet. Have the face of a lion. You should only be courting those who are right with God, that believe the way that you believe. Have the face of the lion. Get some courage about yourself. Stand up for what's right. We need teenagers that will be strong and have the face of a lion and say no to wrong. Let's courageously stand for our conviction. Have the face of a lion. Ladies, don't cower because you wear skirts and dresses. Have the face of a lion. Don't you be ashamed of what you are. I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist. I believe in separation from the world. I've got to have the courage of a lion.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of what I am. You say, well, people might think I'm weird. I've got news for you. If you live according to the Bible, they're the weird ones. Not you. When we get to heaven, hey, heaven, you're going to step into heaven and say, you know what? I'm pretty well living up here the same way I was living down there. There are a lot of people going to have a whole lot of adjusting to make. They're going to say, whoa, this is different. You bet it's different. You'll be required holiness there. Hey, let's strongly stand for the old time ways and develop the face of the lion. I have to tell you, this week I flew to Long Island, New York to preach. Got on an airplane in Washington, D.C. and we flew to LaGuardia Airport. We were approaching LaGuardia and we had started our descent. I really don't understand why the pilot handled it the way he did. I think he was a bit frustrated. His PR skills were pretty weak at the moment. He came on and he said, folks, we had started our descent into LaGuardia Airport and they came on and asked me that we put ourselves in a holding pattern. He said, but we don't have enough gas to be in a holding pattern and we have to find some place to land because we don't have enough gas. I don't like that. He was dumb. He shouldn't have told me. I'd been better off just crashing and burning than thinking about crashing and burning. And he said, they had recommended we find an airport, put down and fuel up, and then come back in to land in LaGuardia. The only problem is we couldn't find an airport to land, and they brought us all the way back to Washington, D.C., and we landed. Now, I have to tell you something. I was on a preaching trip. I was about to go to preach at three different meetings, and I was serving God. And I got to thinking, as I was about 25,000 feet up in the air, and they just told me the gas gauge was on E. My old heart was a-thumping. Now, I kept a smile, got my Bible out, started reading it, double-checked my salvation, you know, all those things. This lady sitting beside me, she was not in good shape. I'm going to guess they had to steam clean her seat when they were done. She was a mess. And I got to thinking, it looks like I'm going to die for the Lord. I'm going to need some courage and suck it up. I got a feeling. Hey, did you say, Brother Owens, were you worried about landing? Oh, no. I was worried about how quick we were going to land. I knew we were coming down. I just had my preference on how we do it. And then I got to thinking, okay, Jeff, you needed to muster a little courage for about 20 minutes there while we found an airport to land. And there's that chance that you might die. But I got to thinking, it takes far more courage to live for Him than to die for Him. I mean, if I had died, it had been 20 minutes after the announcement. But now I live and I've got 30 or 40 more years of life and I need the face of a lion. I need the courage of a lion because it's easier to die because it's a one-time event. Hey, it's hard to live because it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for the rest of your life in the face of the demons of hell that want to stop you, that want to pop you, that want to get you down. Hey, you need to get the courage of the lion. You got to develop a lion's face in your life where you stand up for God. Don't cower. Don't put your tail between your legs. We see a beast. That beast has four faces. Hey, you hear about Brother and Mrs. Nash? They went on a safari. Brother and Mrs. Nash were on a safari in darkest Africa. They were walking cautiously through the jungle when suddenly a huge lion leaped out in front of them. It grabbed Mrs. Nash in its jaws and started to drag her away. Shoot, she screamed to Brother Nash. Shoot, he said, I can't. I'm out of film. For some of you, the reason that you don't move up for God is you don't have any courage. You're afraid to separate because of what some of your friends might think. You're afraid of what your family might think. You're afraid of what it might cost you. But I'm telling you, God said here, you need to get the face of a lion. You need to get some courage about you. You need to get that courage. Some of you are like that lion on the Wizard of Oz. You don't have any courage. You're scared of everything around you. You don't need to go see the Oz. You need to go see God. You need to go see Jesus Christ. see, the Bible says that Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Why? Jesus was the courageous one. He was the one with ultimate courage. He was the one with ultimate strength. And there are people in here today, you have a missing face in your life. You don't have the face of a lion. You need to get some courage about you and serve God and not be ashamed of what you are. There's another face that is mentioned on this four-faced beast. That is the face of the ox. In the Bible, the ox was used primarily for work. Have you ever heard anyone say, he works like an ox? Or he's as strong as an ox? And you say, well, I've heard someone say she eats like an ox. That's not a compliment, just so you know. The ox. First, we see the face of the lion, a face of courage, a face that looks at danger and plows into it. Now we see the face of the ox, more characteristic that of the ox that ought to be built into our lives. God wants us to have the face of the lion, but add to it the face of the ox. The ox was a hard worker. Just so you know, folks, laziness is not respectable. We live in a lazy society. We don't want to work hard. We want a free ride. We want somebody else to feed us and somebody else to pave the way. I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, I'll take a ministry if you give me one that's already built. Well, sure, who wouldn't take that? But look, not everybody can preach for God, but everybody can work. Not everybody can sing great solos in church, but everybody can work. Not everybody can be a great teacher over at Martinsburg Christian Academy, but everybody can work hard. Not everybody has a dynamic personality, but everybody can work. Right. Let me ask you a question. Do you really work at being a good Christian? I mean, you work at it. Oh, I am telling you. Mealy mouth. We need Christians. If you gotta work at it, I don't want to do it. We ought to work at being good Christians. We ought to work at what we do. We need to sweat and toil at being what God wants us to be. In Matthew 11:29 it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Here, it's talking about a yoke. Let's talk about, and actually in a moment I'll tell you, it's a yoke of oxen. But what was the yoke? Well, it was a harness that they would put around the neck of two or three or four oxen, and then they would hook a plow up to it, and you've got this yoke around these three oxen, and they would pull together. They would pull. They called it a yoke. Hey, may I point something out to you? You'll notice that there are no yokes for lions in the Bible. You can't yoke two lions together. You can't just be a lion. You got to learn to be an ox too. There are people who say, I'm courageous. Yeah, but you're a jerk too. Power. Yeah, but you can't work with people. You see, the ox had to be able to get along with people. The ox, you see, had to be yoked to another ox that was yoked to another ox, and they had to have strength. And the Bible says, I want you to have courage and I want you to have strength so you can pull together. In a moment, you'll see, I've never seen an eagle in a yoke. Right. Eagles don't get yoked up. But God said, I want you to get it all. I want you to get the full package. I want you to learn to have the strength of that ox. And I want you to learn to have the courage of the lion. See, the ox learn how to work together. Oxen can pull. Oxen work together. Can you work well with people? You've heard me say it before and I'll say it again. You want to know what life's really all about? Your relationship with God and your relationship with people. And if you're failing at your relationship with God, you're probably failing at your relationship with people. If you get right with God, sir, you can salvage your marriage. If you get right with God, ma'am, you can salvage your marriage. God's a fixer. God's a healer. God's a miracle worker. Your problem is, you don't want to work at it. I have a promise to that. I've never seen a marriage that could not be salvaged if the two people in the marriage would work at it. Amen. Well, that'll be hard. Well, fine. Go ahead and waste what your life's really all about. Your life is really all about your relationship with God and your relationship with people. Work at it. Hey, do you work well with people? The ox could get in that yoke, and the ox was a hard worker. I remember something. Some of you young people in school, it's time for you to start working at it. You just happen to have a preacher that thinks you ought to get the best grades you can get. You just happen to have a preacher that's very interested in the educational institution over here. It's a ministry of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and I expect you young people to get good grades and the best grades you can get in English. I think English is very important. I think math is very important, and science is very important. I believe you better learn to read and write, and you better learn your arithmetic. I believe all of that. When I went to school, young people, look, your preacher, I'm not real smart. I'm far from... You ever met those people? It seems like they don't have to study and they do well anyway. Oh, that so frustrated me. I mean, we'd have these people and I don't know. I don't know where they got their brain cells from, Einstein or something. Me, I got mine from Ronald McDonald, I think. I'd go to school and these guys, they'd all be playing before a test and goofing off, and they'd take a test and get an A. I'd be over there and I'd be thinking, it isn't going to work that way for me. But I was determined I want to get the best grades I could. You know what it took? Sometimes it took me studying and working twice as long to get a good grade. So I don't want to do that. Fine, then be a flop. Then the rest of us can support you on welfare someday. How'd that be? I mean, come on, people. Don't you see it? People that won't apply themselves, the rest of us are paying their bill. Right. Now, young people, don't you go around doing that to society. Yeah. You work hard. And I'm not telling you have to be a straight-A student. I'm saying you better give your dead level best, and you better do your best to succeed.
Amen.
Listen, work like an ox. Dig in. Pull. Not only was the ox a beast of burden, a beast that worked hard, the ox was also used for sacrifice in the Old Testament, for burnt offerings. God wants us to be like the ox. How? Work hard. Be willing to sacrifice. Work hard. Be willing to sacrifice. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, somebody here today, you need to place yourself on the altar of God and give yourself to God. Just like the ox would surrender himself so that he could be used as a sacrifice for God. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart? Does the spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. The ox. What was it like? The ox. The ox was, he pulled. He did what was hard. He struggled. He was a worker. He sacrificed. He worked hard and sacrificed. You know, sacrifice is not based on how much you give. Sacrifice is based on how much you have left after you give. When was the last time you gave until it hurt? When was the last time you gave until you suffered because of giving? And I'm not just talking about money here. How about your time? Which is your life? I think anybody here that's got any maturity about them at all, anybody here that's got any Christian maturity about you at all, you'd say, we are to sacrifice for the Lord. Now, if you say, well, I disagree with that, then you're not a mature Christian. You don't understand what I'm saying. But the mature Christian would say, yes, we're supposed to sacrifice. When was the last time you did? When was the last time you sacrificed your feelings to help somebody else? You just set your feelings aside. Well, I'm offended with them. Well, I don't like them. Well, they hurt me. When was the last time you put your feelings aside, sacrificed your emotion and your feeling to go help somebody anyway? When's the last time you sacrificed your comfort?
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you sacrificed your money? That ox was a sacrificer. They put him in the yoke. He could get along with the other people in the yoke. They'd all say, doesn't matter who gets the glory here, we're just going to go forward. Pull, guys! Pull! 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 Oh, it's uncomfortable, but I'll sacrifice. I'll pull! I'll pull! I'll pull! I'll pull! God said every one of us need to learn to be like the face of an ox. We need to learn to get along with people. We need to get in the yoke, and we need to pull and pull and pull and pull and not be worried all the time of what it's costing us, but to be willing to sacrifice our very selves for the cause of Jesus Christ. Sacrifice. The bull. The face of the bull. The face of that ox. Do you know what you call a cow that just gave birth? That cow's been decaffeinated. It's true. The Old Testament book of Ezekiel. God came to Ezekiel in a vision. He said, Ezekiel, I'm going to show you something. Something that you will see again down yonder in the future. I'm going to show you a creature, and that creature has four faces. This is not just prophetic. It is practical. God is saying to us, I want you to get the whole package. There's some qualities in this four-faced beast that I want you to develop as a Christian. I want you to get the courage of a lion and have the faith of a lion. I want you to get the work ethic and the sacrifice desire of the ox and pull hard for God. And then God said, there's also the face of an eagle. The face of an eagle. I love the verse Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, do I love eagles. I love the eagle. The eagle is a creature that God has given. God's given the eagle special vision. Say an eagle can be on a mountaintop and look way down in the valley and see a creature and lock its vision in. Better than a rangefinder. You talk about a high-powered scope, and it's not been man-made. It was God-made. God wants you to be like the eagle. God wants you to have some vision about you. It's time for some of you to shake yourself and start getting some spiritual insight. Some of the silly decisions that people make. You're not seeing things spiritually. You've almost got blinders on. You make decisions about where you work and where you live and how much money you'll spend and who you'll date and who you'll marry. And you're not even looking. You're blind. You're doing it in the dark. Wake up. Open your eyes, Christian. Get the vision of an eagle. Be able to look out there and say, boy, I see how that's going to affect my husband. I see how that's going to affect my wife. I see how that's going to affect my son. I see how that's going to affect my daughter. I see how that's going to affect my bus route. I see how that's going to affect my Sunday school class. I see how that's going to affect my Lord. I see how that's going to affect my church. I can see it. I can see it. I can see it. Instead of living in the blind and making all your decision out of emotion and how you feel at the moment. And what do you get out of it? You better stop and realize you're to be an eagle. Here, look out and say, what do I see? Slow down. Let God lead you. Let the Word of God lead you. God wants us to soar high. Yes, God wants us to have the vision of an eagle. Get some vision in your life. Get up there, soar high where you can see clearly. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You see, you get up there on high ground and you walk with God, you'll be able to see so much more clearly. Soar like an eagle above the crowd. Get up there where you can do something for God. I really don't care what anybody thinks about me, but there's one thing I want to do. I want to get as close to the Lord as I can. I want to get up high and fly like an eagle. And you know something? The closer you get to God, the more you're going to be able to see this whole world for what it really is. I flew last night about 8 o'clock at night. I flew out of New York City. I plastered my face up against the window. It was dark. The lights of the city were everywhere. I could see it from a new perspective. I could see lights after light after light for miles. I couldn't see anything but light. And can I tell you something? That city may have light bulbs, but they don't have the light of Jesus Christ. And they're all dying and going to hell. You'd be amazed at what you can see from above the crowd. Do you just rub elbows with the crowd constantly? Never get alone and move up to a relationship with God. God is saying to us here, we ought to be like the eagle. We ought to soar high. We got to get a different perception. We got to get a different view. Boy, you know what God's telling us? He's saying to get you some courage. Roar like a lion. Don't back off for God. Then you get yoked up with other people and learn how to get along with people and just do the work of God. Roar while you do it. And do the work of God and sacrifice. And then get up high and make your decisions carefully. And be careful what you do. Get the vision of God in your life so that this life is not all about the flesh and all about a boat and all about a car and all about the next meal. But it's about the things of God in your life. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be like the lion. Get the face of the lion. Add to it the face of the ox. Add to it the face of the eagle. Soar above the crowd. You know, folks, you need to get a vision. Not only does God want you to look down and soar with Him so you can look down into life and make wise decisions. It's time for you to get some vision about your life. Get some goals about your life. Decide to be something. Well, I'll tell you what. Nothing bothers me more than to ask a young person, what do you want to do with your life? And they go, oh, no. Ask a person, where do you want to be in 10 years? Oh, no. We'd like to just make sure I don't miss supper. Get some vision. Get some vision. Hey, you want to know something? My vision for this church alone is not enough. What's your vision? What do you foresee God doing? Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision for your life? Do you have a vision for your ministry? What do you visualize? I visualize your life being successful. You hear me talk about it all the time. Talk about, let's go out and reach some families. Let's save some marriages. Let's get some boys and girls saved. Let's salvage some family out there. Let's make a difference. I have visions about ministries that I want us to see us organize. And I've got visions. I got visions about Sunday school classes that need teachers that we're going to fill. I got visions about buildings and retaining ponds and parking lots. And I've got vision after vision after vision after vision. You say, well, you sure do live in the pie in the sky world. I'd rather be in the pie in the sky world than down low like a snake's belly doing nothing for God, crawling in here to church. You barely make it. Oh, life's so bad. Get up and fly high like an eagle. Get up and make something out of your life. Get up and do something with yourself. Or you can just keep wallowing in your sin, your self-pity. You've got it so bad. Oh, come on. Get some eagle about you. Some tenacity. Get you some courage. And be an ox. Fly high like an eagle. So you know, that's what that beast was. And I love what I see that beast doing in the end time. Stand around all day long saying, holy, holy. Night and day, they get a stand at the feet of Jesus. I like that. I like that. Do you have dreams? Do you have vision? Hey, businessman. Dream. Get a vision. And I'm not talking about the kind of vision you get from eating anchovies on your pizza. Hey, you got a vision for your church? You have a vision for your Sunday school class? You got a vision for your ministry? You got a vision for your soul winning? You have a vision for your bus route? You have a vision for the Christian school? I see God doing some great things around here. I really do. Boy, every time I pull on this property, I see things you don't see. I see buildings that you don't see. I see parking lots that you can't imagine. You know what the biggest problem I have with the county and the city is? Every time they're about to approve something that I'm planning, I add something else to it. They finally said, buddy, you're going to have to tell us everything you're going to do in the next 5 years so we can keep up with this thing. New heights. I'm gaining every day. You got vision? I tell you why some of you are so miserable. You spend all your time just looking in the mirror. Oh, look it out. Oh, look. Oh. Get your eyes off yourself. You say, do you not have compassion? You must not come to this church to ask that question. Matter of fact, there's more compassion in what I'm saying than what you think. Because I could get some of you out of the mully grubs if I could just get some wings on your back and get you to fly like an eagle where you could go out and do something with yourself. The devil wants you down. The devil wants you defeated. The devil wants you to have no goals. The devil wants you to say, well, I don't see anything out in the future. It's so bad. Open your eyes. Hey, the fields are white and the harvest. You've got your whole future ahead of you. Like an eagle. Fly high. Like an eagle. The eagle is known for caring for its eaglets in a very special way. Let's train our children to be winners. Let's train our children to be eagles, not chickens. Let's train our children to soar high for God. Let's give them a vision for their lives. Let's give them a vision for their future. Hey, let's train our children to have the wisdom of God so they have some insight and some vision where they don't make a bunch of bad mistakes in their life. You know, the eagle is known for retaining its vitality late into life. The eagle retains its youth longer than any other bird. Age comes to the eagle, but it retains its drive for survival. Eagles don't give up in old age. Now, some of you seasoned warriors that have been around church for years and years and years, and your hair's turned gray or turned loose, let me tell you something. If you're still alive, you keep on a kicking for God. You get yourself in here to the church. You may not be able to do everything you once could do, but you ought to fulfill your potential at your age. You keep serving God. You show up at that banquet that Brother Tennis is showing. Hey, if you're able to get out in the evening and come soul winning with us, you come soul winning with us. If you're able to get involved in a Sunday school class, you get involved in a Sunday school class. If you've got enough energy to help out on a bus route, full-time or part-time, we'll take you.
Amen.
You see, the eagle retained its strength longer than any other bird.
Right.
You do all you can do for God. I was reading about the eagle, and again, I love eagles. My office is decorated in eagles. I have eagle pictures all over my house. Tom and Shannon, I got a beautiful eagle picture they gave me. It hangs right above my piano. I look at that every morning of my life, Brother Tom. Every morning I get up and I have my devotions, and I look at that eagle and I say, God, I'm going to be an eagle. I want to be an eagle. I want to fly like an eagle. I have a whole room at my house that's decorated in eagles. I got to reading about the eagle. And the Bible here, it says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. The reason the Bible makes the comparison of mounting up with wings as eagles is because of this. As the eagle gets older, when life begins to wear on the eagle, its feathers get old. But God can put that eagle's feathers through a molting process. I want you to picture it. The eagle's feathers are old. He's not as confident about flying. He's not as courageous. It'd almost be like going out on the road with bald tires. And his feathers are old. His feathers are worn. They've been through battle. They've been through the cold and through the heat, and they've been war-torn because they've flown so many miles and held up his body weight. And he's there in his nest high upon a mountain, realizing he needs to do something, but he has a fear about him, a certain reservation about him, because he knows his feathers are old. The Bible says in old age, God keeps putting that eagle through a molting process. He begins to shake. He shakes off those old feathers and new ones start growing in their place. He shakes and he waits and he shakes. And before long, he looks back at his wings. He steps up to the edge of his nest. He mounts up. And he says, I got me some new feathers. He said, Banzai! And he sails. People look up and say, wow! Look at that young eagle. Look at it soar with power. Look at that eagle and its confidence. Wow, look at how young it is. They don't know that eagle's got false teeth. He's an old codger that's got him some new feathers. That's what that means. There's some of you say, "But Owens, my feathers are war torn. I'm a little fearful. My feathers, they've flown me through a lot of life." There's even some of you that are younger. You say, "But Owens, I've been through some battles. My feathers are damaged." Well, you do this. You wait upon the Lord. You serve God. You serve God. When the tough times come, you shake them off. Then you shake them off again. You shake them off. If you'll stay up close to the Lord, one of these days, you'll mount up the side of your nest. And you'll say, "Here I go again. I'm going to fly for the Lord." That's what that means. Mounting up with the wings of an eagle. Hey, are you determined to be an eagle? Are you determined to fly high? Hear about the two eagles that were on a mountain. They were eating a dead clown. One said to the other, said, "This tastes funny to you?" God said, "Get you some courage. Don't you be ashamed of what you are. Get some courage. Become like a lion. Take on the face of a lion." We turn that neck a little bit and we see. God said, "Become the face of an ox." God said, "Turn that neck a little bit. We'll see the face of an eagle." And then finally, and in conclusion, God said, the fourth face is the face of a man. I ask myself, why not another creature? Why not another fowl? Why not? Why the face of a man? I'll tell you why. The answer came easy for me. The answer came to me from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." You see, the reason the fourth face is the face of a man is because it is man that God loves the most. Jesus died to redeem man. Jesus did not die for the eagle. Jesus died to redeem the ox. He did not die for the ox. Jesus died to redeem man. He did not die for the lion. You see, God wrote a book. What book? The old-fashioned black King James Bible. God wrote it what for? God wrote it for man. He didn't write the Bible for the eagle. He didn't write the Bible for the ox. He didn't write the Bible for the lion. He wrote it for man. And for God to leave man's face off of this would have been for God to leave the face of His most prized possession. He who He died for. He who He was buried for. He who He was resurrected for. He who Jesus stands and sits at the right hand of the Father today making intercession for me and for you. God said, "I've got to have the face of a man on this powerful being." The reason God left heaven to be born in the manger was for man. Jesus went to Calvary for man. See, the lion is merely to influence man. The ox is merely to influence man. The eagle is merely to influence man. The man will live forever in heaven. That is our eternal abode. A lion can't be like a man, but a man can be like a lion. An ox can't be like a man, but a man can be like an ox. An eagle can't be like a man, but a man can be like an eagle. God put the face of a man, and I believe the face of a man is in the forefront. And God said, "I want you to cram in the back of your mind. I want people to see you. But when they see you and when they see your face, I want them to think of a lion. When they see you and they see your face, I want them to think of an ox. When they see you and they see your face, I want them to think of an eagle. I want the people down there on the face of the earth to look at you and say, 'There's something different about that person. There's something different about them. Boy, they have courage like the lion of the tribe of Judah. Hey, they have the power of an ox, like Jesus sacrificed Himself on the cross of Calvary. Hey, they have the inside of the eagle. Hey, they fly high like Jesus flew high when He resurrected Himself to heaven." Hey, they said, God said, "I want them to see your face, but the qualities of the creatures that I gave you to train you to be what you ought to be." Four faces. Prophetic. From the book of Ezekiel, indeed. Practical? Absolutely. I want our church to get the whole package. I want us to have courage. I want us to sacrifice. I want us to have wisdom, vision, and insight. I want us to love man like God loved man. Four faces. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to get some courage about you today and just admit to it and say, you know what, I need to get saved. Hey, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why don't you get a little of the tenacity and the strength of that option. So you know, no matter how hard it is for me to leave my seat and get saved today, I'm going to do it. Why don't you get a little of that energy of that eagle and look out and say, let me tell you something. If you're lost and on your way to hell and have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll warn you of something. You better look way out into the future, because there'll come a day if you die unsaved, you'll wish you would have gotten saved. You better look into the future and say, well, I want to eat, drink, and be merry. I want to live it up. You will die someday, and if you die lost, you'll go to hell. You better look into the future and realize that. Get some courage about you and say, I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what anybody says. I'm getting saved. Then you, however, no matter what it takes for you to walk down that aisle to oppose your flesh, you go ahead. You come down here. You get some vision and say, one day I want to be in heaven, not in hell. And you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In what way do these faces apply to you? I don't know. But I know they do, because they apply to me. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask this question. Are you saved? Or would you say, I'm not. I'm not saved. I'm not born again. If you died today, do you know 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? Who here would say, preacher, I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. If I died today, I don't know if for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be saved, preacher. That's what I need. Pray for me, preacher, that I'd be born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to trust Jesus Christ so I can go to heaven. Look out into eternity. Look forward. Good, I see that hand. Who else? Look out there. If you die unsaved, you'll die and go to hell. Who else? You say, I need to be saved. I know that. I need to be saved. I've looked forward. I see hell. I don't want to go to hell. Get some courage. It'll take a little courage for you to raise your hand, but please do it. Who else would say, I need to be born again? I've seen a hand. Good, I see that hand. God bless you, sir. You may put your hand down. Who else? Say, I'm not saved. I need to be born again. In a moment, those of you that raised your hand will have an altar call. What that means is, in a moment, we'll all stand to our feet. The choir will begin to sing. When that happens, the men on this platform will leave their place on the platform. They'll walk down these stairs and they'll post themselves down here in the front. You leave your seat. You walk up to one of these men standing down front and you say to them, I want to be born again. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Your flesh may say, stay put. Don't let that happen to you. Get the courage of a lion. You walk down that aisle no matter how hard it is. Get some vision out into the future. Make sure that you get saved so you don't die and go to hell. Now, to those of you that are lost, in a moment, we're going to take care of it. You be ready. You be ready just to come forward. Hey, who's sitting in that pew needs courage? Need courage to face something. Who out there needs to apply yourself to the work of God? Apply yourself to saving your marriage, saving your children, saving your reputation, working at it. Who out there needs to get some insight? Some spiritual glasses on you so you can start thinking spiritually and stop making dumb mistakes in your life and ruining your testimony. Seeing how what you do affects our church. Affects your Lord. Who out there is a senior citizen, or even those reaching middle age, and your feathers are old? You need to shake them old feathers off and mount up with new God-given wings and do something for God. Who would say, Brother Owens, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, but God has spoken to my heart about these faces today. And you'll raise your hand and say, that's me. God has spoken to me specifically about some things. Amen. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Remember, if you're not saved, the altar will be open. You come, you say to one of these men, "I'm not saved," and we'll help you to be saved. The instrumentalists will begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet.